When you golf in Missouri, the courses are so close, you'll spend more time on the fairway than the freeway. Reserve a tee time at the Regal Osage National, designed by the king himself, Arnold Palmer. Take a cart ride on the wild side in the breathtaking surrounds of Payne's Valley, designed by Tiger Woods. And after the back nine, there's still world-class dining and distilleries, shops and spas, museums and more. Find your new golf MO in Missouri. Start planning your golf getaway at visitmo.com.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. Prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hello and welcome, Bulls fanatics, to another episode of Sports Ethos Bulls coverage here with your host, Keith Cork, and I am joined here by my good buddy and co-host here, Trey Hill. After a Bulls victory that saw DeMar DeRozan take a probably ill-advised one-footed three-pointer for the victory. Cutting a little close there, Trey. Don't know how you felt about that last shot, but I was kind of screaming at him with like 5 seconds to go going, dude, go to the basket. What are you doing, right?
Yeah, I was really confused. I got the ball back, it seemed like, with about 9 seconds left, I think, was whenever DeRozan really got the ball and was kind of settled in the half court. And like you said, it was a running one-footed three-pointer to beat the buzzer. When DeMar has the ball with 9 seconds left and he gets the chance to actually, you know, run an action or two even, you don't expect that to be the shot. So it was very much a no-no-no-no-yes situation for me because I was so frustrated that that was the shot he got because he's so, you know, throughout the game, it seemed like he was consistently getting the looks he wanted. And apparently that was the look he wanted to finish the game off because it went right through.
He did look super confident taking it, but I guess he did tell Adam Amin. I was at chat with a friend or two on Facebook Messenger, and they said, hey, you know what? Actually, he told Adam Amin that he didn't know how much time was on the clock, which is a big oops. Which it did seem that way because it seemed like he was dribbling, like sizing his guy up with, like I said, like 5 seconds left. And I'm like, dude, you're like near half court. Drive the basketball, get to your spot. But anyways, before we get started here, guys, we're going to jump into this. The Bulls take down the Pacers 108-106 on that final jumper. But before we get started, listeners, please take a moment to follow at Ethos Fantasy BK on Twitter, the single most dominant basketball and fantasy news feed on earth. Get all your NBA news in one handy Twitter feed. It's faster than the competition and provides more analysis, too. Again, that's at Ethos Fantasy BK on Twitter. Go follow now. With the 108-106 victory, the Bulls are now sitting in first place. Happy New Year to all you Bulls fans. You have a first-place team in the city of Chicago. That's incredible, man. I never would have thought that would happen.
No, if you mentioned before the show came on to try and think up 3 or 4 New Year's resolutions, you know, for you know, it is that time of year. And I was trying to think up some of them. And in my head, I just kept coming back to, it's really hard to come up with things because this team, even if they didn't win today, like they've just been so successful. But with this win, being able to say they're the first place team going into 2022, it's just, I feel like we were higher than almost everyone on the Bulls coming into the season. And it's still even better than what we expected.
Yeah, I never would have imagined in my wildest dreams. I mean, obviously, it's been a weird season. You know, as I was saying in the last episode with Tony Gill, who is I was awesome to have him on. I really enjoyed it. I know you did too, Trey. Hopefully, he comes on again. And I think he had a good time. So hopefully, we'll have Tony again. Hopefully, get KC Johnson on again, who actually ended up calling some of the game tonight. We can talk about that for a little bit, but I never imagined that they'd be in first. You know, the Bucks obviously have struggled a bit coming out of the gate. I think they'll again be fine and catch up to us. The Heat have had just injuries and COVID. You know, outside of that though, I mean, you know, the Bulls are sitting about. You know, they're playing about where we thought they would. It's just a couple teams are struggling more than we thought they would, I think, coming out of the gate. But yeah, that was interesting. Speaking of COVID protocols, Adam Amin had I guess, inconclusive test or something. So KC Johnson had to step in and do the play-by-play for the first quarter and a little bit, maybe a few minutes of the second quarter also. And then Adam Amin, you know, miraculously returned. And I know, you know, you might not have had the volume on there, Trey, but he did a pretty good job. He did decently. He did also say multiple times, well, not say, but in the way his voice was like, sounding, it seemed like he didn't want to be there doing it because that's not what he's used to. We know KC, he's kind of a button-up, deliver the story kind of guy. But it was kind of interesting to see him doing the play-by-play.
he probably would have been much more comfortable had he known going into it that he was going to be doing it. But if he got caught off guard, I can definitely see where KC would be the type to bristle a little, maybe. But you're right. I didn't have the audio up. I'm at home. I'm back home in Illinois visiting family, and my family is very much a football family. So they had Cincinnati and Alabama on the big TV with the volume up, and I had the game on the laptop watching along, but I didn't get to listen.
Yeah, no, he did a great job though. So great job, KC. If you somehow listen to our show, I hope you do. But yeah, he did a fantastic job filling in for Adam, and it was good to have Adam back though, because Adam really does call a great game. But yeah, so outside of that final shot, I mean, there's a couple observations, you know, obviously from this game. I even though we didn't have necessarily a great first half, and this is a theme, the Bulls have always had, you know, kind of a lackluster effort in midday games. I feel like that's just always been a theme with midday games with the Bulls. They're just always a disappointment. But I actually like the energy for this game, even like from the jump. Like even though we didn't have a great shooting first half, and it was still kind of close. I mean, they didn't shoot it well either. It was kind of like a boring game to watch in general. But the Bulls, I thought, brought effort and they brought energy. Did you see the same thing?
Yeah, I did. Up until it seemed like the last 6 minutes of the fourth quarter, until like the last two, but that 6 minute to 2 minute stretch, it really seemed like the Pacers were getting after it a lot more than the Bulls, and that's kind of what let them get that lead there at the end. But I jumped in at the start of the second quarter, and it seemed like they were in a little bit of a funk. They would go up by six, but they were having issues closing the door. And I know the Pacers have been a much better team when you look at like the advanced stuff, like the net rating and things like that. They've been a better team than their record indicates. And I think you kind of saw that with the guys they had. I know they were missing Brogdon, but they had a lot of their guys, and that they did a really good job, I think, of making the Bulls uncomfortable. But the Bulls did, like you mentioned, the Bulls did a really good job of, even though they were a little uncomfortable, you know, you saw Zach struggle, and even though they were uncomfortable, they came through, they battled through it. And they, even though they gave up the lead there at the end, you never felt like the Bulls were out of it.
Our top two offensive dogs, you mentioned it a little bit there, but you know, Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, they really, really struggled from the field. At one point I had marked down that they were, let's see, they were 7 for 22. Oh no, I'm sorry. They were 8 for 26 combined at one point. Let's see. They ended up.
Zach didn't make a three. He was 0 of 3. Yeah. DeMar had the Kobe tribute game, 8 of 24 from the field.
They ended up 15 of, let's see, third, can I do math here on air? It's
41.
41, yeah. So 15 of 41 from the field, which is roughly 36%, 37%, somewhere, you know, halfway in between there. So they did not shoot the ball particularly well. So I can't give enough. I mean, I got to give Vucevic his flowers, even though he only shot 6 for 16. He did grab 16 rebounds, dished out 4 assists, hit a couple of big threes. And then obviously, you know, the big guy is Coby White. And so I got a couple questions about Coby White, but give me your thoughts on Coby White this game.
I think it, what I've been praising Coby White for the last few games. Now I've been trying to make it a point to give him a shout out. And he just seems to be finding his place on this team. So much of this team is new. And of course it was going to be Zach and DeMar were going to be the first two guys that kind of got to figure it out. They got first dibs and then Vucevic, and now Vucevic has figured it out. I know Kobe's just now getting into, you know, the rotation between being hurt and COVID. But to me, it just, when you watched him play, it, everything just looked comfortable for him, whether it was passing out of the pick and roll, rotating around the three-point line so that way he was making himself available when the Pacers defense was doubling or digging hard off of him to help. He's just it just seems like he knows where to be on the court, and it's second nature for him. He's not out there thinking about what he needs to do. He's just reacting.
And these are the big games, you know. I said with Tony when Tony came on, you know, this is the guy that we need to get, you know, 20 from just in a game like this where we needed it. Obviously, we won by 2 points without Coby having just a stellar game. He shot 7 for 11 from the field, 6 of 7 from beyond the arc, 4 of 5 from the free throw line. Just shot the ball extremely well from all areas. And without him doing that, you know, the Bulls don't win this game. They probably lose by like 10 points, right? I mean, it's just not a game where they win. But the one thing I am impressed about, and you did mention it also, Trey, I have to give you your credit here. Defensively, I was watching him defensively because you've been talking about it. And you're right. His defensive, you know, activity is just miles better than it was last season. And, you know, he's not getting the same kind of opportunities. He's not on the floor as much anymore when Lonzo Ball's healthy, when Alex Caruso's healthy. So it's been something where, you know, I haven't necessarily had to watch him on defense and pay attention to it. But now that he's getting what he played tonight, 33 minutes, 33 and a half minutes, he's getting around that with all these guys out. You know, I did see him fighting over the screens. And, of course, he, you know, 3 big steals. I mean, and he had a big block, too. And these were like, you know, down the stretch, I think it was around 4:40 left in the game. Yeah, 4:45 left in the game. He had a huge strip on, I think it was a LeVert drive or something like that, that just saved a basket. And, you know, these are the plays. These are winning plays. And it's Coby White making them. And so my first question to you, Trey, is does this change the narrative for Bulls fans? Are Bulls fans suddenly going to change their tune of trade him now that he's finally got trade value?
I feel like that question's better served for you because you were more excited to put him on the trade block than I was. So after seeing him these last few games, remembering that he's only 21 years old, are you a little more hesitant after seeing kind of what he's evolving into potentially?
I think, I think he does do what the Bulls need for that second unit, especially, if it were something, again, and I've said this before, and I'll stick to my guns, if it is something where we're getting like a Jeremy Grant quality player back in a deal, I don't mind it. Right? It's something I feel like, this is something we'll talk about in the next segment. We're gonna.
I agree with that. If you can have Coby White be the main piece you give up in a Jeremy Grant trade, I feel like you have to pull the trigger on that.
Right. So it depends on what, you know, obviously you have to evaluate and just take everything as it comes. And if you get a trade, you know, like that happening or the framework of a trade like that, then, you know, it's something that I'm sure AK is evaluating as it comes. But I am happy with what Kobe's been doing the last few games, not even just this game. He had 12 assists in the last one, too. We didn't recap that one because I was traveling, but, you know, he's been playing very well recently. And, you know, I think if anything, it's only a good thing. If Coby plays well, it's only a good thing for the Bulls because A, you can keep him obviously, and he brings what we need for that second unit in terms of scoring, or B, he's raising his trade value so that we again can get something back, you know, in terms of like a stretch four or a four that can play some defense. So, I know you're not big on trading him, but what, any other observations here you have from the Bulls game?
I know you got to watch it a little bit closer than I did. I see Io played 22 minutes. He went 3 of 4 from the free throw line. So I know he got fouled on 2 field goal attempts, but he was only 0 of 1 from the field. Did you notice, were the Pacers just kind of making it a point that they weren't going to let Io kind of, you know, run rampant on him kind of, cause he has kind of elevated his game, I would say, over the last 10 or so. So teams have probably taken notice and started to game plan accordingly. So do you think it's because the Pacers game plan for him? Do you think it's just because the Pacers played good defense, or was this just a one-off weird game for Io?
No, I mean, you know, it's pretty easy. Yeah, I didn't really notice him a ton. He did good things on the field, like on the court. So when he did something well, you know, I did notice him and I said, oh, there's that guy again. But he was pretty quiet. I mean, there was really nothing the Pacers did specifically to keep him from scoring anything like that. It was more so like he was finding, I know he had a couple of good assists to Derrick Jones Jr., who was working the baseline. I mean, the way that the Pacers were just playing defense, I think it was just what was open was the guys that were like running the baseline wasn't necessarily Io. A lot of times it was usually Derrick Jones Jr. Or Matt Thomas was having a lot of open shots too. So I think Matt Thomas might have taken some shots from Tyler Cook, got in there and had some shots. So I just think it was a matter of, you know, what was open, and he was making the right basketball play. He had positive minutes, but not necessarily something that shows up in the box score.
I think that's kind of what I settled on whenever I asked the question. It seemed like he had the ball in his hands a lot, and the Pacers, you saw it with Zach, you saw it with DeMar. If you had the ball in your hands, the Pacers were making it a point to make things hard on you, and they were going to force the other teammates to beat them. And fortunately, the rest of them came through. Like you said, Derrick Jones Jr. had a couple great cuts and was able to finish. I love that one alley-oop. And anytime you get something positive out of Matt Thomas, that's a win for me. Because I have a buddy who's a Raptors fan. And he sent me, when we signed Matt Thomas, he said, congrats on your human victory cigar. So he shouldn't be playing 20 minutes in a close game, but the fact that he was able to be a +8 in those minutes was pretty fantastic.
Yeah, you know, he shot the ball well. He hit the first couple shots. And I thought, oh, man, this might be a Matt Thomas game where he gets off for, you know, 15 points or something like that. But that didn't happen. He ended up 3-for-7, ended up with 8 points, 2-for-5 from beyond the arc. So he did his job. You know, he was knocking down shots, getting to the right areas. I like every shot they took was an open shot. He wasn't forcing anything. Specifically, and this is a good point, this is a good opportunity for me to bring up my guy that I always look at when the Pacers play against the Bulls, Mr. Torrey Craig, who again hounded DeMar DeRozan and just made his life a living hell. DeMar DeRozan ended up 8-for-24 from the field, 24 shots. Oh my gosh, he only hit 8 of those. And a big part of that was because Torrey Craig was just, you know, hassling him. But when Torrey Craig was doing that, Matt Thomas was kind of the lever. He was the guy that was, you know, being the lever for DeMar DeRozan for when he got in trouble, getting there, getting to a spot that he can, you know, hit a jump shot. And that happened in the first quarter, so I noted that down. But again, man, I was impressed with Torrey Craig and his activity, not just on the defensive end, but on the boards and assists too. He ended up with 11 rebounds and 5 assists, which is, you know, pretty, and 10 points. You know, he had a really good game against his Bulls squad in about 32 minutes.
Yeah, you noticed when he was out there on the court, and when he was out there, he was doing things. No matter what, you know, where it was on the court, he was active. Sabonis seemed to do really well on the offensive boards. It seemed like he crashed them really well against us, which it's always going to be a worry, especially when the team plays as small as they do. Besides Vooch, but you'll take the wins when you can get them. I think they were out rebounded. But yeah, out rebounded by 13. The Pacers out rebounded them by 13 and still couldn't get the victory. So tough win, good win, great way to end the year.
Sabonis did end up with 5 offensive rebounds, and the Pacers as a team had 17 to the Bulls just having 8. So they got a lot of second chance points, which really kept them in the game. That third quarter specifically, they came out just firing lights out from beyond the arc. I know Justin Holiday hit like 3 of them, and Caris LeVert hit 1. So, you know, a couple 3-balls in that third, they really closed the gap there. The Bulls had built like an 8 or 10 point lead. But like you said, every time the Bulls kind of did that, the Pacers would just come roaring back. So it was a good and a close game. And like you said, it's a good victory for the Bulls. One more thing I wanted to point out before we move on here is that I did go to the Pacers game, the last one where Kobe started, and he went 2-for-10, and we lost by 32 points. So thanks, Kobe White, if you're listening, which I'm sure you aren't. But if you do listen to our show, dude, you could have done this, 2 or 3 months ago and helped me out. But it's all good, man. I'll take it now. I think, like you said, he's hitting his stride. So
we'll see. He wanted to ruin the fan experience at that game because it was a home game. And then he also wanted to ruin the fan experience here in Indiana. So what it is Coby White just really likes making people have bad days. That's what you're saying.
That is true. Any other big, let's see. They had about the same assists, steals. Bulls had a few more steals. Blocks were, Pacers had a few more blocks. That didn't really end up. Bulls had nine turnovers.
The Bulls shot 20% better from three.
Yeah.
They Bulls shot 44%, whereas the Pacers shot 25, so 19.
Yeah, Bulls had nine turnovers, and the Pacers had 17, which is kind of interesting because when you're watching the game, it seemed like the Pacers were getting more points off of turnovers, and the Bulls, when they were playing sloppy, that's when the Pacers were making their runs coming back. But realistically, the Pacers actually turned the ball over more than the Bulls, which is interesting to look at here in the box score. But no, like I said, good game. We move on to the next one. Let's see, the Bulls' next few games here should be pretty easy, and there should be some victories here. The Bulls are playing the Wizards tomorrow at 6 p.m. Central. And then they are playing at home against the Magic on the 3rd of January. So they've got a bit of a break here. Well, I guess one day break. And then they've got a bit of a break in between the Magic. And then they have the Wizards again, but this time at home on the 7th of January. So those are the next three games. All pretty winnable games, I would think, Trey, wouldn't you?
Yeah, they all sound very winnable. Washington, I'm pretty sure, played today also, so they'll also be on the second day of a back-to-back, which is always helpful.
Yeah. And I'm trying to look up if we're going to have back...
Oh, that's a lie. They must have played last night.
Oh, they played last night. That's okay. I'm trying to look up if the Bulls will have back Lonzo Ball. And let's see. It says he will clear quarantine on the 5th. So probably going to be out for the next few games, it looks like. Same thing for Tony Bradley and same thing for Alphonso McKinney. So they're going to be down a few more players again for the next one. Alex Caruso is listed as day-to-day with that foot injury. So I did know that he was working out before their last game against the Hawks. I did see some video of that. So I'm hoping that he's closer to a return than anything else. Derek Jones Jr. is obviously back, so that's a big boon. So we're starting to get guys back. I think we're hitting a pretty easy part of the schedule here. Then the Bulls have Mavericks and the Nets and the Warriors after that, so that's going to be a rougher stretch. But this next three games, I think they could easily go 3-0. So it'll be a good start to the year, right?
Yes.
All right. So, yeah, I did ask you, Mr. Trey, to put together some – New Year's resolutions for the Bulls. It's the 31st, obviously. Happy New Year to all our listeners and to you, Trey. It's going to be a good next year. Obviously, the Bulls are in first, but New Year's resolutions, man. You said you had a few. Why don't you hit me with one, and then I'll give you one of mine.
Just getting the guys healthy and getting some minutes together. That's my first New Year's resolution. I just want to see these guys get some chemistry, maybe even just to get some practice time in. I know during the COVID outbreak they weren't even able to practice, and while I know we watch the Bulls and it looks beautiful and they play, it seems like everything's clicking. Come playoff time, everything gets ramped up another level or two, and you really want to have that fine tuning. And so my first New Year's resolution was really just getting ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, it'd be great to have, a solid rotation that just plays all year. I'm sure every team pretty much in the NBA can see it at this point. But no, that's a good one. I think that's important, especially with all three of the big guys playing together. That hasn't happened in every single game, but having those guys just play together more. Vooch is starting to finally hit his stride, so I think getting more reps with that in. Let me give you my first one. I've got a couple here for the whole team, and I've got a couple for individual players. I'm going to start with an individual player one here because I think. I want to end with a team one. So anyways, my first one here is my first New Year's resolution is for Nikola Vucevic. Mr. Nikola Vucevic, I need you to try to record a double-double every game. Before this game today, they were 12-3 when he recorded a double-double. Today, obviously, he did the same thing. He recorded a double-double, so they're 13-3 now. Anytime Vucevic records a double-double. I have a secondary New Year's resolution for Mr. Vucevic, too, and that's to shoot 45% or better from the field more often than not. And I know it sounds like it might be asking for much, but this is a career 49% shooter. And with all three of their big dogs in, and that's going to be including today, I guess, They're 9-2 now. They were 9-1, but or no, sorry, what am I talking about? They're 9-1. When Vucevic shoots 45% or better from the field, he did not shoot 45% or better from the field today. So I'm not going to count that one. So 9-1, anytime he shoots 45% or better from the field, I just need him to be efficient on offense. I think that's what I'm looking for here, more than anything, because, you know, he's getting easy shots, probably the easiest shots in his entire career. In Orlando, he had to do everything himself, and he shot 49% from the field. I mean, basically that during that whole stretch in Orlando. So I don't think I'm asking for too much here. What do you think about that one, Trey?
No, I think that's a good goal to have, especially considering he has so much less of a load on the offensive end, given what Zach and DeMar are able to do. So I feel like those are both good goals to have and ways for the team to make sure they're successful.
Yeah, I think, a double-double, so basically I want him to grab rebounds and I want him to just shoot, get 10 points efficiently. That's like my dream for Nikola Vucevic. So what's your next New Year's resolution?
For Io to shoot 40% from three. He's at 39% now, so he's right there. And I have so much faith in him. I know it's kind of a high bar to ask. 40% is extremely high, but I think he gets really good quality looks. And I'm just hoping he can knock down those open shots. So I'm hoping I thought about leaving it at 39, but what fun is that? So I'm hoping he can bump that up one more percentage point and finish the year as a rookie who shoots 40% from three.
That'd be huge. He's not a guy that they really profiled as a, range shooter that's going to come in and just drain threes left and right. So that would be huge. I think that'd be really nice for him rookie season to do that. Just a really attainable goal and something that would, really look good on the resume. And it'd be good for fantasy owners. But hey, guys, while we're talking about fantasy, we have a brand new daily fantasy partner at Sports Ethos, Thrive Fantasy. Prop up with Thrive Fantasy on their mobile app or at thrivefantasy.com. Use code ETHOS when you sign up to get 100% deposit match bonus on your first deposit up to $100, plus either 2 or 4 free game tickets to play. Pick player props on the biggest names playing every night. Score points when your props hit. And the players with the most points win a share of the nightly prize money. And check out our Sports Ethos DFS team or podcast for advice on winners. Again, that code is ETHOS over at ThriveFantasy.com. Io, not necessarily on the standard league radar, guys, but for deep leagues, I think you're sitting golden if you have Io DeSumo on your team. He's producing more than anyone would have imagined so far and having a pretty good season. So my next New Year's resolution here, Trey, is for the whole team. And my New Year's resolution is that they have to go out and obtain a forward that can stretch the floor and defend to replace Patrick Williams. I know I've been on this. But I think that the Bulls just really owe it to their fans to give this their best shot. I mean, talking to Tony in the last episode really kind of gave me some perspective there to really go out there and say, Vucevic and DeMar DeRozan, they're in their 30s. They're getting up there. I mean, we're going to build this team on what we have already. We've only got a few year window here for this squad in particular. So I think you don't have to give up too much to go get one of these guys. So I think the Bulls really need to go out there and get somebody that, again, can start at that 4 spot. Things look good now, but when rotations shorten up, like you said, Trey, do we really want Javonte Green out there running, 25 to 30 minutes a game at the 4 spot? I mean, is that ideal to you? What do you think?
No, and that was my last resolution I had was to go out and try and find a 4. Because I mean, I don't think Javonte is going to be out there playing a lot of four. I think right now the starting and closing lineup would be Ball, Caruso, Zach, DeMar, and Vooch. But you want to have a bigger four that you can throw out there. When you say you have a guy like Cam Reddish who's going off on you, like he went off on us the other night, you want to have somebody who's big enough that you can throw out there and at least bother him. And right now the Bulls don't have that. And like you said, I feel like that's kind of like that. Maybe not necessarily the last puzzle piece to be championship, like legit championship contenders in a lot of people's eyes, but I think that puts them in that Toronto Raptors sphere of fringe title contender, where if things break right, they might get lucky and find themselves in the finals or, find themselves playing for a ring.
Yeah. I just don't, I just don't think that they are quite there yet. I think that they need another, a piece that makes a difference. I don't know. Even what I'm asking for now for this New Year's resolution and the same thing you're asking for, I don't know if that's the piece that really does put us over the top. It depends who that name is and what they bring to the table. Right. I mean, if they were to go out there and get a guy like an Aaron Gordon, I mean, he's making too much money. It won't be him, but something like that, where I think that's a really, really darn good guy to have as your fifth best guy on your team in your starting lineup. Something like that. I mean, that can really make a difference. That can really take you from, this team's okay to, you know, hey, this team actually could make some waves in the playoffs. And might even, you know, get to the finals, like you said, or win the whole darn thing, which, you know, I hate to get my hopes up at this point. I'm still pretty skeptical about that, but you know, Bulls are sitting in first. We're almost halfway through the season, right?
Right.
So,
and I almost put, one of the resolutions being finishing as a top three seed. But man, if the Bulls could find a way to finish first at the end of the year and avoid the Nets and Bucks until the conference finals, that would be huge for this team.
Yes, exactly. So, I think it's good. I think it's a good one. We'll throw that in there. So finish in the top three. I like it. So I've got a couple more here for you. First one's going to go towards Coby White. Coby White, my New Year's resolution for you is just to score the basketball, man. Score the basketball. They're 5-0 when he shoots 33% or better from the three-point arc, which happens to also be the five games where he's hit double digits. So shoot the ball, shoot it from deep, shoot it well. Actually, they're 6-0 now because he shot 33% or better from three-point arc, obviously, tonight. Today, and he scored the double digits also. So he's averaging 13.7 points per game and 35% from beyond the arc for his career. So I don't think asking him 33% or better and to score double digits per game is out of the question. Obviously, he's had some increased opportunity in the past, so that really inflated his numbers. But I'm looking for this guy, man. If he's going to stay on the team and we're not going to find a trade partner to, you know, give us what we really need to put us over the edge, like I said, then he'll stick, and that's fine. He just needs to bring that to the table. He needs to score the basketball and score it, not even efficiently. 33% from three-point arc isn't even efficient. He just needs to knock down, you know, the occasional jumper from beyond the arc. So any thoughts on that one, Trey?
Yeah, and these numbers don't include the 6 of 7. 6 of 7 he went from three tonight. Yeah. But before tonight, he was shooting 27% from three. For his career, he's like a 36-37% shooter. So that was always going to, that was always going to come back up. Obviously, this is going to bring it up probably close to 30%, if not even 31%. And you just want to see him continue to be confident for me. I don't want him to hesitate when he gets the ball. I want him to be decisive like he has been these last few games. And his playmaking has even stepped up a little bit with that decisiveness, running that pick and roll. And I think that, like I said on the defensive end, how he learned to fight over those screens. But I also think playing with Zach, playing with Caruso, I think that rubs off on other guys. And maybe this playmaking out of the pick and roll from DeMar and Zach, if Kobe's been watching and been paying attention, maybe that's part of why he's been able to make better reads these last few games.
He's looked a whole lot better, man. I hope it continues. I hope you're right. And, you know, again, like you said, he's young, 21. So hopefully he just puts it all together and ends up being even better than I imagined. So always a possibility. My last one here, though, and I think this is something that's important. I want to end on this one and end the episode on this one. And this is something, you know, all Bulls fans and all the Bulls players and all the Bulls coaching staff should have this circled on their calendars. January 14th, beat the Golden State Warriors. That is my last New Year's resolution for this team. Reason for that being, Trey, it's kind of like, you know, the Bulls started the season and then they won, you know, some games in a row, and then they lost to the Knicks. And you know, everyone kind of took a step back and said, well, you know, maybe this isn't real. Maybe they're just, you know, they're not really a contender. They're just really just had a few good games. And, you know, this isn't necessarily real. The Bulls, that was, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. That was their fifth game that they lost against the Knicks by 1 point. It was a good game. But, you know, it made people kind of question. And then, you know, the Bulls played the Warriors. And again, this is where they lost by 26. So it wasn't necessarily something where they even had it close. It was another instance where people were, again, you know, hey, are these Bulls, is this Bulls team real? So I think the Bulls need to beat a top tier team. And they beat the Nets a few times, but the both of those times, to be honest, are a bit fluky because the Nets were on back-to-backs for both of those games. So, you know, they had a little bit of an advantage against the Nets. I'm not surprised that they won those games. Golden State Warriors, though, on the 14th, if they beat that team, I think this really opens up some discussion about, hey, is this a title contender? What do you think?
I think that's a good point. For me, they have a home and home there, the 12th and the 14th against Brooklyn and Golden State. For me, I hope they at least get one of them. I know, like you said, they've had success against Brooklyn, but I feel like even now the Brooklyn team's a little bit better than they were back then. They've kind of settled in. Harden seems to be playing a little bit better. Will Klay be back for that Golden State game?
I know they talked to him today. I know he said that they're working on it. He's on the verge, basically. Once he does come back, I'm sure there'll be some kind of minutes restriction. I'm of the mindset
right. And it's huge either way. Yeah. I mean, it's huge either way. And I think I agree with you. It would be great for a statement win for the Bulls to beat Golden State with or without Klay, even better with Klay.
And that's going to be the back end of a back-to-back for the Warriors, too. They're playing the Bucks the night before in Milwaukee, and then they got to travel down to the Bulls, which isn't too far away. But that's the back end of a back-to-back for them. So, again, it's going to be something – it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, people just see the box score, and they just see the Bulls beat the Warriors, and that's when the conversation goes to, oh, my gosh, they beat the Warriors. Can they do that in the playoffs or whatever? So I just think that's important. I think the Bulls need to try to win that game. So that's my net last New Year's resolution here. For what, 2022? What year are we going into? I don't even know the year anymore. 2022. There we go. I got it. So that's my last one. Anything else? Any other thoughts before we close this one out here, Trey?
No. It's been a great year to be a Bulls fan. To see, I know AK came in last year and we saw what he was able to do with Vooch and that he was going to try and start building a winner kind of for the now because of Vooch's age. But to see it all come together, it's just been such a fantastic year. It's so nice to root for this team, and I hope the success continues into 2022.
Yeah, man, same. I echo those thoughts. Before we go, though, guys, quickly before we sign off, we want to also remind you all to use coupon code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com for 20% off your order and free shipping. And also check out our pals at mybookie.ag. Use code HOOPBALL on the third page of sign up to unlock deposit match bonuses there as well. That's HoopBall, HOOPBALL, as promo codes for both of those sites. But that's going to do it for us, guys. We are going to come back and recap the next Bulls win, I'm sure, when it happens. But that's it. That's our last show for 2021. I'm Keith Cork. You can find me on Twitter at BSBPKeith. And Trey, where can the people find you?
On Twitter at FinalFinally.
And follow our show at EthosBulls on Twitter. That's it. Go DeMar DeRozan, go Bulls.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.